This episode is powered by Act Now Education. Go to www.actnoweducation.com for free comprehensive educational resources and opportunities for active duty, veterans, military spouses, and children.
But here's where the kicker was, and this is what incepted Future Stars football clinic at the time. The kids weren't upset because they lost. They were upset because the friendship and the family environment that I created with them was going to go away because none of these kids went to the same elementary schools. Now that the season was over, they're not going to see them anymore. And when I seen that and realized that, I looked at my coaches and I said, we need to do this on a bigger scale.
Warriors, fall in. It's time for formation. Today I'm joined with a Marine Corps veteran who I actually met while attending the Military Influencer Conference in Las Vegas last fall. At that time, I got an opportunity to hear all about our guest's nonprofit organization, and more importantly, I actually felt and listened to the overall passion behind his project to change lives. Today's guest is on the show because he believes in instilling confidence and hope with our at-risk youth through physical sports activity. He also includes mentorship and community service as a majority and a priority to his organization. And I certainly agree and understand the importance, especially in today's world, of why he would prioritize these things. Our guest today is Coach Chris Torres, and his organization is called Future Stars Sports Clinic. So let's learn more about Chris and his military service and the impact that his outstanding organization has been making lately. Chris, welcome to the Morning Formation.
Semper Fidelis, man. Thank you for having me in this formation. I haven't been in a formation in since 2014.
You know what's funny is I am not a morning person. For me to call it the morning formation is kind of like counter to what I actually enjoy. But the thing about being in the formation, that was a time for us to take accountability, check in with one another after a long weekend, disseminate information, you know, check on health and welfare, the whole nine yards. So that's why I named the podcast The Morning Formation. Even though it was a shitty time and you knew that you were going to get ready to run, you know, 6 to 8 miles on a PT, you know, on your PT run, it was still a good time for that camaraderie and for us to check in with one another. So thank you for being here. And I really appreciate the opportunity. It was great meeting you too in person. That's kind of rare in today's world. A lot of my guests I've met virtually. But what I found really outstanding was just talking to you and your father there at the MIC in Las Vegas was to hear about your organization. And we're going to learn more about that. But first, I want to dig into your time in the Marines. Would you mind talking to the audience about where you were stationed, why you chose the Marine Corps, and talk about like some of your deployments as well?
Yeah, no problem. So, you know, my father's a Marine as well. So I followed suit, kind of, sort of. Well, I joined the Marine Corps in 2002. And, you know, it was a decision I made after kind of just figuring out life. You know, you got done with high school, you don't have no direction or what's really going on with life. And I was a big football star where I grew up. And I thought that was going to be the end all tell all, but, you know, that's that small percent. So I ended up joining the Marine Corps, and it was probably the best decision I made. You know, it made me who I was or who I am now. During my tenure in the Marine Corps, I was an air wing guy. So I was a Marine Corps air wing. I was a maintenance administration specialist. Did that for 4 years until I got my secondary MOS. So I'm assuming there's a lot of military people that watch this podcast. So MOS, military occupational specialty. After my first enlistment, I got a secondary MOS, which was a database analyst. So I analyzed basically all the defects that came off planes when they landed. And, you know, I provided mission capability rates to the squadrons and, you know, just a very analytical job. I did that for 14 years. Deployment wise, I did Iraq, Afghanistan. I did actually 8 deployments while I was in. I did 8, 5 UDPs and 3 combat deployments. And it was it takes a toll. As you know, from when you deploy, it takes a toll on family. It takes a toll on you mentally. And I just got to a point in the Marine Corps, which I don't knock it. It was time for me to take the next step, close that book, close the chapter of that book, and start renewing and writing the next chapter. But yeah, you know, I've served my time, and you know, it's the Marine Corps is different. So obviously, you know, we have a lot of different branches, and a lot of people say, actually, we met the guy that created a CRE. What was it, the Crayons Ready to Eat?
Right. Yeah, Frank.
Frank. But you know, we Marines are a very tight knit group of individuals. That's why they're called the Few, the Proud. And you know, yesterday I got a phone call from one of my buddies who, you know, he went to go meet his maker, and those are the type of things that are tight with Marines, and we kind of stay in touch. So we're going to take care of him at the end of the month. But yeah, that was my time in the Marine Corps. I don't regret a day of it. I've got to see a lot of the world, and it's actually put me in the position now to do what I'm doing, which is impacting our community and using those pillars of success that were instilled from the Marine Corps, and having that honor, courage, commitment, and instilling that now in our youth.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I agree. Like, military service in itself is a great transition. If you're not going to be going to college right after high school, or if you are, if you somehow incorporate the reserves or the National Guard into that next step, I think that only enhances your overall leadership abilities. I know a lot of folks that leave high school, go straight into college, and they don't serve in the military. Well, the thing about the military that's so great, in my opinion, is the fact that they put you out front early. I mean, I was enlisted in the National Guard. Then I went active duty as an officer. So at 23 years old, I found myself in Iraq in charge of a platoon. How many 23-year-olds can say that, right? So
not a lot. It makes you grow up fast.
Oh, yes. You grew up really fast, really fast. And so I'm sure that had a lot to do with your overall professional development. It sounded like you were a pretty big high school star. What state was that in?
In the state of New Jersey, North Bergen, New Jersey, the North Bergen Bruins. So I was a running back there. It was good times, man. You know, I still stay in contact with some of those guys that I played football with back in the day. As a matter of fact, one of them's my best friend. I was the best man at his wedding. He went on and played at Bryant University. We have a couple guys that made it D1. So, I mean, it's a sport in general, not just football, but sport in general is a very almost military-like ideal, you know, organization. So,
yeah, no doubt. I tell you what, in between the discipline that it takes for a collegiate athlete to go to practice, maintain grades, maintain time management, all those things, as well as like the military. It's at the end of the day, I think it's even more impressive to be a collegiate athlete, or more impressive to be in the military while going to college, because I think there's a whole nother side to professional development that also enhances as well. And, you know, all this led you to eventually start your nonprofit, which is a Future Stars Sports Clinic. And so would you mind talking to us about what that's all about?
Man. This thing is, it's a great program. So Future Star Sports Clinic incepted in 2017. I had just got back. I was actually a contractor now. So I contract for special operations, and I had just got back from Africa. And, unfortunately one of the Navy SEALs that were on one of the operations that passed during that operation that we were supporting. And it was very close to home. So at that point I said, you know what? I had just had my son. My son is a 6-year-old. He's 6 now. His first name is Captain. There's that military aspect again, right?
Right.
And I just said, you know what? I got to come back home. So I ended up leaving that job and working for mission planning, supporting Pentagon and program managers and stuff. And at that time, I told my wife, I was like, hey, I want to give back to the community. I want to start coaching football. I want to get back to my roots. And I went to the city here in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. And I asked if they needed any volunteers to coach. And what ended up happening was they did. And I showed up. And when I showed up, the head coach I was supposed to be coaching under didn't show up. So I became the head coach. And I took over a team, the Fort Walton Beach Bulldogs, which if I moved my camera, you'd be able to see them. I have them on my wall behind me. That team was 0-8 the year prior of me being there. And this is kids that are 8 to 10 years old. So we did a draft. They do a draft down here. So they get all the kids and all the coaches get to run drills with them. And then they take you in. The coaches go in a room and we basically pick from, you know, whoever had the worst record last year, you get the first pick, you know, just like normal drafts. And obviously we had the worst record because we were 0-8. And we drafted up, and at the end of that season, we were 8-0, and we were into the championship. And I mean, that's just astronomical changes. And the kids that are on our team, there was 19 of them. And the reason I know that is because I told every single one of them, you're not going to quit. And we start with 19, we end with 19. And how I know that, because I'm a big Eagles fan, and I have a jersey that's number 19 that the kids got me at the end of the season. So fly, Eagles, fly. We're going to Super Bowl in 2 weeks. But we went into the championship undefeated, and we lost. And obviously the kids were upset, but, you know, we've made extreme strides for the better. But here's where the kicker was, and this is what incepted Future Stars Football Clinic at the time. The kids weren't upset because they lost. They were upset because the friendship and the family environment that I created with them was going to go away, because none of these kids went to the same elementary schools. There's so many elementary schools down here. So now that the season was over, they're not going to see them anymore. And when I seen that and realized that, I looked at my coaches and I said, we need to do this on a bigger scale. And at that point, Future Stars Football Clinic was incepted. And what it did was football. We would do football leading up to football starting or signing up for the season. But what we would do is teach the fundamentals, how to play the game in a non-contact, non-competitive environment, basically creating a safe environment so when they put a helmet on and they're in front of a coach, they have somewhat of an idea what's going on, which does two things. It makes the game safer, and it makes the game more strategic for the coach that's getting these kids. Instead of having to teach them from scratch, they have an idea. And that's what started this program. But we want it to be a step different from your normal clinic. We took these kids and teach them the fundamentals of the sport over 5 Saturdays in a row for free, because we get the community to back the program. And out of those 5 Saturdays, one of those Saturdays has nothing to do with football. And these are kids that are ages 6 through 13. And what we do is we take them and we do a community service event with those kids. So I think our first year we did a food drive. The second year we did a beach cleanup. And last year, which was our 5th year, we actually had 350 kids on the beach planting sea oats to preserve our beaches down here in Florida. 250,000 sea oats got planted last year by our program. So it's mm-hmm. that's what delineates us from your normal conditioning and sports and drills clinic. So
yeah, it's absolutely amazing. So how many kids today do you currently serve?
All right. So she's from 2017. We had 68 kids show up. 2018 was 110. 2019 was 150. 2020 was 250. 2021 was 250 again, right around the same. And last year we had 350. So we've impacted a lot of kids.
Wow. It's growing, huh? And so that family environment that you created, would you say that it's very similar to sort of the environment that you experienced while you were in the Marine Corps, while you were stationed in certain places, or maybe even deployed?
For sure. I mean, that a lot of those basic fundamentals and basic ideals that the Marine Corps has instilled in me, we're just instilling it at a lower level with these kids. And what we're doing is teaching them those 5 pillars of success that we implement over those 5 weeks, which is practice, teamwork, focus, discipline, and respect. Without those, I mean, that has a lot to do with sport, but it has to do a lot with life. And if you follow those at this, you know, pivotal age, 6 to 13, you're going to be a future star in whatever you choose to be. That, no pun intended, that's why the name of the program is called Future Stars. And I like I said, it was Future Stars Football Clinic. We've just recently changed the name to Future Stars Sports Clinic. And why we did that was because we're going to now implement 4 more sports over the next 2 to 3 years, which will allow us to impact 4 times as many youths in our community. And basically, you know, we want to do this as a whole, because society right now, you know, both me and you know, it's not where I believe it should be. You know, there's a lot of selfishness. There's a lot of not giving back. And this is the way that I believe I've been given a platform to impact our youth so we can see change in the future. Again, there's that word, future.
I agree with you 1,000% on that. There's a lot of adults today that have gone through a lot, overcome obstacles, have experience, but are failing to reach back and share those lessons learned. And it's simple mentoring. And it's so funny how whenever I help someone, a young adult, navigate into what career field they want to get into, how other adults around me are kind of looking at me like, why do you care? Like, why are you? Because I get very, very passionate about it because I do care. Like, I know what it's like not understanding, not knowing, not having any guidance at all when you're walking into something or going into something, whether it was, you know, sort of getting into the military or whether it was becoming an officer, deploying. A lot of times, I don't know about you, but I found myself walking into a dark room and not having anyone really to talk to or ask questions that would give me the time or day. And then those times when I did have help or a mentor, it was really refreshing to make an informed decision. So at the end of the day, I really think that you're building, you are building future stars and future leaders. And I find it funny how sometimes how an unfortunate event like a coach not showing up sort of evolves into an opportunity like this, into now you're 300 kids strong and you're changing lives for so many families out there, you know. And, you know, I understand that your organization works specifically with the Florida Panhandle, right? And and you know, you've expanded to, you know, a total of 5 sports now. Talk about those sports and whether or not you plan on expanding the geographical locations as well.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, no problem. So again, you know, it is a mentorship program. We're just using sport as a vehicle to mentor these kids. So a lot of our volunteers that are part of this program, they're active duty veterans, special operators, coaches, parents. So, you know, we it's a full circle program. We get the military involved as well. As a matter of fact, I think the 7th Special Operations group is going to be involved heavily with our clinic this April. And the reason I wanted to involve them was because I actually connected with Ruben Ayala from Triple Nickel that was out at the MIC when we were out there as well. Yes.
I know Ruben really well.
They're actually printing our shirts this year.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, they're printing our shirts because awesome. Triple Nickel, right? You got 5. There's that synergistic number again of 5 pillars, 5 clinics, 555 Triple Nickel. I wore number 5 when I played football. I grew up on 5th Street, you know? And then now, like, to answer that question, we are evolving into 5 sports. So we're going to slow play that. We're going to basically, football is what we stood up for the past 5 years. There's that number 5 again. but we're going to, at the end of this year, we're going to implement probably baseball and soccer, and we're going to do a 1-day clinic instead of 5 to kind of stand it up, find the right person to stand it up. And then that way, at the end of this year, we've had 3 different sports that we've ran. Then next year, we're going to run 2 more, probably either basketball and 1 more. We don't know what the sport's going to be right now at this point. We're going to see what interest comes from the community. And then we'll stand up that one as well with a 1-day pilot clinic. So at the end of 2024, we've have already ran 5 different sports. When we go into 2025, those 4 new sports, we're going to run for 3 days. That way we have a fundamental clinic, a conditioning clinic, and then a community service clinic, because we got to make sure that we implement that because that's what stands us apart. And then we'll make sure we do 3. And then I say by the end of 2025, we're going to be running Future Star Sports Clinic 25 weeks out of the year. And when that's done, the baseline's there, the architecture's there, where now we have a headquarters here down in Fort Walton Beach, and we can pick this program up and take it to communities outside of Florida that need Future Star Sports Clinic to impact their community as well. So that is the manifestation. That is the idea. It's just getting there requires, I know you've heard the phrase, it takes a village. So we don't want these kids to pay a dollar for this program. So, you know, we depend on the community, business sponsors, and everybody to just support this program so we can continue growing and continue impacting communities here and abroad.
I'll tell you what, man, things like the Military Influencer Conference did an outstanding job as far as connecting so many folks. You mentioned Triple Nickel and you mentioned Ruben and Chris McPhee. Yeah. That whole group in itself is an outstanding group. And then earlier you mentioned Frank Mantow. And the thing that I love about this, man, is like things are coming in circles, and it's like, you know, they're helping you out. you're also supporting them. And I think that was the best thing about the Military Influencer Conference that that took place. And it's, I think it's absolutely amazing that they're going to be part of your journey to grow, and that you have such big aspirations going forward. And things have grown literally from 19 kids to over 300 kids now. You're doing a lot, and you're getting a lot done, and you're changing a lot of lives, man. And I got to give you mad praise for that, because I love mentoring. I love trying to get folks that are behind me coming up my path to make sure they don't have to have the same obstacles that I had, so they can be even better than me. And there's nothing better than seeing that over time, watching young adults evolve into a better professional than I was, making better decisions than I did. I think that's what fuels me more than anything else. And during your time in the Marine Corps, you know, can you talk about how your time in service played into your entire decision to do this nonprofit and reach back to start Future Stars?
So, like, my time in service, you know, when I was promoted to, when I got to the staff NCO ranks, you know, it gets political. And I mean, you know, you're an officer, you know how they right. say, you got the enlisted side and then you got the dark side. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, I do.
And, I noticed that when I was in and when I got promoted, and I realized, you know, I'm going to give myself a 2-year reenlistment and let me see what this really looks like. And I think within the military as well, we need some mentoring as well. And I think some people get to a level of time and grade or even just rank, and they forget that it's about the institution. It's about the unit, you know? And when you forget that, you've kind of thrown away a lot of the basic information or basic values that you got when you went through boot camp. So when I seen that and I got out, that's one of the main reasons why I got out. But again, it was a decision I think I needed to make, which I didn't retire. So like I'm out on my own because I felt it was the right decision to make at the time. And it was, I don't regret a day of it, but it also allowed me to realize it's about the unit. It's not about me. And I actually had a conversation with Colonel Dwyer, who is the CO of the 7th Special Operations Group. And man, if you ever get a chance to talk to any special operators, they're a different group of human beings. And, you know, I got to talk to him to get his guys to come and volunteer. But Colonel Dwyer, you know, in 2007, he was hit with an RPG. He's missing an arm. He's missing an eye. And that's one of the things he did tell me. And it stuck deep with me because, believe it or not, he pulled his eye out in the conference room and he goes, "Hey, I want to tell you something because what you're doing is amazing. But my eye, if you look at it, I have an emblem in it." And he has the 7th Special Forces Group emblem in his eye. And he goes, he told me the whole story. And I said, you know, I appreciate it. He didn't have to share that with me. That's near and dear to somebody's heart. And I appreciate that. But what he said after that, he goes, "I did it for a specific reason. And I put that emblem there. So when I wake up in the morning, and I look myself in the face, I look myself in the mirror, and I see that emblem, it reminds me it's not about me, it's about the unit." And for everything he's gone through and what's going on, and you know, it's just to hear somebody as humble as that, that just drives people like me to do this even more, to impact the youth, to impact and make change for the future. Because if you really think about it, what are we really doing? Everybody has a story, and our story should and always help and inspire other people to be better versions of themselves.
Most definitely, man. When you said that about Colonel Dwyer, that kind of gave me goosebumps.
You should have seen how I was driving home from that conversation.
That's deep, man. Like, honestly, that's pure compassion, man. And just being loyal to something more than just money, you know. And that's something the world is, our society today is so surrounded by the importance of money.
And I think sometimes materialistic
stuff. And we forget about the drive to take care of people and to help people out, you know. And it's great to connect with folks like you, Chris, because at the end of the day, you know, you're doing outstanding work for so many families out there, man. And I'm not just, when I was reading your website and taking a look at some of the videos and stuff on there, and it, you're not just involved in holding camps, but from my understanding, you're also involved with programs to help kids pay for cleats. You're also involved with helping kids go to actual college football camps as well. I mean, you're doing so many things out there. Can you talk to us a little bit about that as well?
I'm glad you brought that up. So the cleats thing, that actually, it's not really mine. So we had a participant that came into my program, and he was a participant when he was 10, and he was there for 3 years, and now he's a junior in high school, Anthony Gassaway, and now he's a volunteer for the program. So, you know, he's like getting promoted. Well, last 2 years ago was his freshman year in high school, and I didn't know, but his mom had told me and said, hey, you know, Anthony didn't play football his freshman year. I was like, why? He had an ACL tear. I didn't know. I normally follow up, so bad on me. I always follow up with my kids. So I said, oh, man, that sucks. How's his therapy going? How was surgery? As a coach, that's the first thing you're going to ask. And she said, everything's fine. He's from Navarre, Florida. Michael Carter, running back from the Jets, is from Navarre as well. And she told me, yeah, Michael has been texting him and walking through the process. I text Mike automatically. Mike, this is a good kid, man. Thank you for, you know, it's not so often as a high school athlete, you have an NFL player telling you, hey, man, you're going to get through it. You know what I mean? So long story short, at the end of our fourth annual Future Stars Football Clinic, my VP, also the guy who helped me and set this program, who was a coach with the Bulldogs when we did the Inceptionist program, he wanted to do a fishing trip to commemorate, you know, our fourth annual football clinic. And also it was my first year coaching middle school football. And we had a championship run. And he goes, hey, we're going to commemorate you winning your first championship in middle school. Kind of jinxed me because we lost in the first round of the playoffs. But he's like, we're going to go catch tuna. We want to catch the big fish. I said, okay. I said, plan it. And we'll just make it happen. Just let me know how much. So I think that was in June when he called me, when he was planning it. And, you know, when you say circles, because you said, you know, everything comes back and comes around. It's full circle. I have my dad, who's also the veteran. He has this Air Force guy that comes and hangs out in the neighborhood. They talk politics and all that stuff. So I went to tell him about this fishing trip. I went to the house and he goes, hey, I got this one fishing charter. They're called All In or Al In. And he gave me the card. And I said, I think my buddy already planned it, but, you know, I'll hold on to it and see what's up. And I let it be. My buddy calls me a month later, my VP, and says, hey, coach, it's all planned up. It's done. We need one more person to go on this trip. And you know what? The only person I was able to think about was Anthony. So I say, you know, I got the perfect kid, man. We're going to bring Anthony. I'm going to pay for his trip. That way it's an opportunity. You know, we're going on a 12-hour fishing trip, going to catch tuna. And he was like, cool, let's do it. So I text Anthony and his mom and say, hey, opportunity, fishing trip, 12 hours. You want to go? They said, yeah. A month after that, I reached in my wallet. I saw that Owen charter, business card. I went on a limb. I took a picture, sent it to my VP. I said, hey, I don't know how deep you are with this, reservation with the charter that you booked, but call these guys. I heard they're very good. Here's your first coincidence. When I sent him the picture, he calls me back. He said, that's who we're going with. I'm like, wow, what are the odds of that happening? Huh?
No doubt.
And this story is going to tie into this cleats thing. So give me one sec, man. I appreciate you. So I think a month after that, Anthony's mom messaged me and tells me, hey, coach, I want to talk to you about Anthony. And she calls me. She says, hey, Anthony's brother was murdered last week. And not only was he murdered, Anthony was on the phone with him when it happened. And they were playing video games, Call of Duty, and everything just went out and nobody knew what happened. So his brother was older. He was a big, mentor for him for football. So I said, Mom, Anthony needs this trip. I can't say more of it. So October rolls around. We go on the trip, 12-hour trip, six guys, Anthony being one of them. And I told all the guys, hey, if that reel starts screaming with a tuna, if you guys don't mind, I hope I let Anthony catch the first fish, which he did. And those pictures are on our website. And we went out 3 hours and then we ended up not catching any more tuna, but we caught like 350 pounds of fish. And Coach G, my VP, was like, hey, we're supposed to catch tuna. Coach, I'm kind of pissed. We paid good money for this. I said, man, it's not about you. It's about Anthony. It's about this kid. It's about the experience. And on our way back from the trip, Anthony was like, I got a chance to mentor him, but I hear Coach G talking with the deckhand, and the deckhand is an 18-year-old kid named Tyler, and they're talking about this fish that Coach G's dad caught in, shoot, I forget, but it was the biggest king mackerel that ever come in Destin, about 65 pounds. And come to find out, we were on the same boat that Coach G's dad caught that 65-pound mackerel, and Coach G's dad had passed away from COVID the year prior. So I looked at him and said, you see, you're trying to be selfish and you just had an opportunity to have closure with your dad. Now, how does this tie into this, the cleats? There's a foundation in Enterprise, Alabama called the Remember Michael Foundation. I met them through one of my sponsors. I went to my sponsor's open house and I didn't talk to anybody except Mike and Michelle Smith. I didn't know what they were about, but I told them Anthony's story and they got very quiet. And he goes, we want to support what you do. We give kids cleats and this and the other. So he gives me his card, and I didn't know anything about his foundation. He calls me the Wednesday after that and says, hey, Coach Torres, it's Mike Smith. I met you at CJ Signs and Designs. And he goes, me and my wife, we heard your story, and it hit a nerve. And the nerve it hit was because their son was murdered the day before Thanksgiving that same year. So it's the stories aligned. And so basically he goes, hey, Coach, I want to, you know, help you out. I want to give cleats to kids. I said, well, so we have 350 kids. I don't know if you could do that, but I think we should do this. How about I recommend you start a scholarship? And we call it the Remember Michael Scholarship in partnership with Future Star Sports Clinic. And what we'll do is we'll give that to an outstanding student athlete that comes and volunteers. Needless to say, who do you think our first nominee was, man?
It was Anthony.
It was Anthony. And it was a $250 scholarship, you know, nothing too crazy, but we presented it to him in front of all the kids. And, you know, Anthony's mom went to the car. They had their moment. Obviously, it's an emotional moment. It's still fresh. And I get a phone call from Anthony, and Anthony says, hey, Coach, I want to thank you for – this is a 15-year-old kid. Coach, I want to thank you for nominating me for this scholarship. And the reason I did that is so, you know, Michael's name doesn't get forgotten either, because Future Stars isn't going anywhere. So that partnership will always be there. But Anthony said, hey, me and my family are pretty well off. I have $50. I want to add it to the $250. And Coach, I want you to help me figure out how I can give kids cleats. So he started Cleats for Stars. Anthony did. And I created the logo for him. We put it on the website so he didn't have to start a nonprofit. That way it falls in with what we're doing. He said, we call it Cleats for Stars because I want people to know where it incepted from. It incepted from Future Stars. And now, I mean, he's already, you know, he's a 15, 16-year-old kid. You know, and we empowered him with doing that to remove the negativity that was currently in his life and provide positivity to show him and teach him how to give back, how to change people's lives. And, you know, his life itself was impacted. And, you know, that just shows you the program is working because nobody asked Anthony to do that. He did that on his own. So that's where Cleats for Stars came from. I know it's a little long winded, but it's a story that people need to hear.
It makes sense. Because I was looking at the website and I see Michael Foundation and I see your first nominee and it ties everything in together and it makes sense now, like who this person is, why it's so why it's so memorable and important for him to be the first nominee and the first recipient of this. So how old is he now?
He's 15.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. 15 years old and it's already running
And as soon as we started his campaign, he raised $3,000 in 24 hours.
Wow. Absolutely amazing. Yep. I'll make sure that I put that in the show notes for this podcast.
Yep. And we've already started giving cleats out to kids and everything. So cleats equipment is as simple as them going to the site and requesting it. I go to Anthony and he makes the decision and we make the purchase and get it to the kids that need it.
Yeah. There's so many branches involved with your nonprofit, like cleats for Stars, and then you also have the other program where you're paying for the students the athletes to go to college, like real college football camps as well, right?
Yes, sir. Those are all our student athletes that come from the local community high schools. They're affording their time as volunteers. Whatever residual funding we have left over for that year, if we have the funding, we take them and we take them to the Nick Saban Alabama football camp. We take them to any camp that's local. And you know, all those four kids that we took last year were sophomores in high school. These are opportunities that they probably would have never seen. But again, you know, all that is solely dependent on the community and people donating and sponsoring this program, because at the end of the year, we expend all that funding and then we do it all over again. It's a rinse and repeat process. So currently we are in the works of getting grant level sponsorship, which will kind of remove the financial burden so we can focus solely on making Future Stars what it's supposed to be, or Future Stars Sports Clinic what it's supposed to be, and not have any financial concern and just impact lives. So, I mean, it brings a smile and a gleam to my eye just knowing that that's going to come, because this program is just that genuine.
Yeah. And just to underline again, Future Stars is a program that charges zero to the athletes that get involved with it, $0. Yep. So, I mean, there's really no excuses. I mean, especially in a world like today, I had a buddy of mine whose son is going to be graduating this year as a senior. Rewind back to 4 years ago, as he was going into high school, we would go to the gym and work out. And I was talking to his son about the importance of surrounding yourself with scholar athletes. You know, I was telling him, hey, if you hang out with five idiots, that makes you the sixth idiot. So yes. I said, it's really important as you go into high school to hang out with scholar athletes. And I said, you know, because my own personal experience, I played football, wrestled, ran track in high school. And I was like, wrestling was probably, even though I loved football, wrestling for me was probably one of the most humbling sports that I ever did. And I told him, I said, if you're not going to play football, because he's a little undersized, I said, you need to consider getting into wrestling, because so much adversity, just you and somebody else on the mat, there's really no one else to blame but yourself if you win or lose. And anyways, this kid had his own intestinal fortitude to freshman year start wrestling. And here we are 4 years later, he literally, his entire team just won their conference here in LA. And he's just an amazing, amazing young man. And, it's sports to me is so important. And so I'm so glad that I actually got a chance to talk to you today. And you mentioned Michael Carter earlier, being one of the athletes that supports the program. Would you mind talking about some of the other professional athletes out there as well, and maybe some of the major sponsors that you've had to support this program?
Oh, awesome. Yeah, for sure. So I obviously, you know, we operate in April, every Saturday in April. So at the end of every clinic, we have a guest speaker, whether it's an NFL player, whether it's a motivational speaker, whether it's, you know, just someone who's going to uplift and kind of maybe turn a light bulb on to some of the teenagers or just some of the youth that we have in the program. You can see some of these pictures behind me. So we had Robert Davis. He played for the Eagles. You got another Eagle, Tequila Spikes down there. So there's a lot of pictures that are actually here behind me. These are all athletes who have come to the clinic or that I know personally who support what we do. And, you know, we want to get more athletes to come down to Florida, Destin area, beautiful area, and, you know, come down to Future Stars Football Clinic. Come down to Future Stars Sports Clinic when we do baseball, soccer. You know, we want you to come down. Jared Johnson is another one. He played for the Ravens alongside Ray Lewis. He's one of our sponsors who runs Black Rifle Coffee up here in Niceville. Florida Power and Light just became a sponsor. I can go sponsor-wise so many because our donation level is so low. I look at it as, I think right now we have about 65 local and national sponsors, and that's a lot of it's, some of it could be in kind, some of it is monetary, but I look at it as we keep it low because I want sponsorship in quantity, because myself, my board, and my team, we provide the quality on the field. And it's like I said earlier, it takes a village. So if this is something you believe in and you believe in investing in our youth, you believe in sport, any type of sport, look at what we're doing. Look at what we're going to bring to a city near you. Support it. Donate it. You know, $10, $5. It doesn't have to be a lot, but it's going to make a difference. And we've done so much with so little for the past 6 years. It's time to make the sky the limit. And that's where we need to really get behind. So if you're watching this, NFL players, if you know NFL players, put them in touch with us, put them on our website, have them check the stuff out. But that's really what it boils down to, and it's bringing awareness to a program that is going to change communities in the future.
And no doubt about it. If you are someone that's listening out there and you have connections with pro athletes that can even just show support for this in any way, whether it be on social media or in person, please check out the website. It'll be down in the description. If you're watching this on YouTube, check the description out. If you're on an audio platform, check out the show notes down there. I will link the main website as well as Coach Chris's Instagram and Facebook. But if anyone out there is interested in connecting with you, Coach, besides Instagram, Facebook, and the website, which has your email address and phone number on there, what's are you on any other platforms not mentioned?
I'm on LinkedIn, but all of that's on the website. You scroll down to the bottom, it says contact us. You have our LinkedIn, our YouTube, our Facebook, our Instagram. There's no reason not to get in contact with us. I want to hear from you. I want to talk to you. I want to inspire you. And hopefully, you know, when it's time to move this to other geographical areas of the United States, we find somebody that has the passion that I do, that wants to give back, and let's collaborate. Let's link up and let's make this happen, because it's not too far when Future Stars is coming to a city near you.
Yeah. If you have a love for sports and you have a passion for reaching back and helping out others and seeing the fruits of your labor, I mean, that's the biggest thing for me, is actually watching young adults grow into professionals is what energizes me and gets me, going and gets me fueled. So my hat's off to you for doing such a great, creating such a great organization, doing such a great job. Now, before we end the episode today, Coach, do you have any advice for folks out there in the military community, maybe someone that's thinking about starting a nonprofit themselves, or someone that might be interested in taking that step forward, but might have some reservations about it?
I sure do. And I'm sure you can talk on this too once I say it. So if you are venturing on, you know, becoming an entrepreneur or becoming, you know, running your own nonprofit of something that you believe in, it's like we were in Vegas, right? What's Vegas known for? It's known for betting. You know, you go out there, you bet, you know, play some craps, play blackjack, but you're taking a chance.
Right.
If you believe in what it is that you want to do, bet on yourself. Take the risk and bet on yourself. You know why I'm telling you that? And I'm looking directly at you if you're listening. Bet on yourself, because if you're going to bet on yourself, you can't lose. You're not going to lose if you bet on yourself. Just go ahead and go do it. And it's going to be tough. So it's not hard. It's not easy. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. I can tell you right now, I'm still not where we need to be, but it's all part of the process. And you have to go through that process. You got to grind to get where it needs to be. None of people that have been successful are successful on their own. So you got to make sure that you grab, just like you said earlier, you know, surround yourself with scholar athletes. One thing that my dad always told me, tell me who you hang with, I'll tell you who you are. So look at your surroundings, make sure you're around the right people, and take whatever you believe in and go full force and bet on yourself. Because if you're going to do that, you're going to be successful. And the one thing, like our slogan for Future Stars is, if we believe we can, then we will. All it takes is one person to believe in you. The rest is up to you.
That's great advice. And that's true. It sounds like you're really creating a great family down there with these kids, with those 19 that you started with, and to the 300 that you have today. You keep doing the great job that you're doing, Coach. I really appreciate you giving us the opportunity to get to know more about your organization. And for anyone out there listening, please check out the website. You know, if you can support this in some way, shape, or form, even if it's through sharing through social media, follow him on Instagram, follow him on Facebook, share some of the stories that he's got going on, because at the end of the day, this is our future. This is tomorrow's generation coming up, and we need to build leaders. Our society today certainly needs it more than ever. So, Coach, thank you so much for joining us on the Morning Formation. I really appreciate it.
Semper Fidelis.
Hey, folks. And for everyone else out there, please check out the website. Check him out on social media. And as always, I want you to stay tuned, stay focused, and stay motivated. Warriors, fall out. You've been listening to the Morning Formation Podcast. I hope you found today's materials helpful and of value to your current situation.
You can connect with me on Instagram at the_morning_formation_podcast, or you can connect with me via email at theformationpodcaster@gmail.com. Also, I would like to thank my partners at Act Now Education for their support. Authenticity, community, and trusted is what you can expect from all members of the Act Now Education team. You can link up with them today and learn about some new free educational resources on their Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, or at their website, actnoweducation.com. Whether today's show took you back to a nostalgic time or helped you think about tomorrow, thank you for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you again. Stay safe and stay motivated. Warriors, fall out.